Fudung Nein Yaakov, and we discussed last week about how there are mitzvot revolving around Kavod HaMeis, honoring the body of the deceased, and we discussed the different mitzvot that pertain to the deceased. And now our Gemara is going to continue with the discussion of do the deceased really know what's going on in this world? So the Gemara begins with a story. Bnei Rabbi Chiya, the children of Rabbi Chiya, nafku lekiryata. They went out to deal with their land, with their inheritance. So they're busy. They're taking care of their land. Ayakalu talmudayu. So what happens when a person is busy doing other things? They started forgetting their learning. Habukam tzalat kurinu. They were going to great pains trying to remind themselves what they had forgotten. So one of Rav Chiya's children said to his brother, Yada avun bai tzara, does our father know how much we're suffering trying to remind ourselves of what we learned? So the other one asked him, from where would he know? The Haktiv, the verse says, Yichbedu v'nave lo yada. When his children get honored, he doesn't know, the book says in Eov. So he doesn't know what we're going through. That's what one brother asked him. Their father was Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya's children. I gave out copies last week. I don't know. Yeah. Amar leidach. So the other one answered him, "Velo yada, what you mean our father who's buried, he doesn't know our suffering." V'aktiv, the pasuk says, "Ach b'saro alav yichav v'nafsho alav teval." He does suffer. So v'amar Rav Yitzchak, and Rav Yitzchak taught that that pasuk teaches us, "Kasha rima b'v'sar amit k'machat b'v'sar echai." As the worm consumes the flesh, it's difficult for the deceased, like a needle going through flesh when it's alive. The deceased feels what you're doing. Imagine what a deceased feels when he's cremated. So Chazal tell us that even though the body is lying there stagnant, the body feels what's done to it. That's why the ancient top Amre Betzara Didhu Yadi. So the children said, maybe the deceased only know their own affliction, what's happening to their own body. But they don't know of the pain that other people suffer. Maybe our dad still doesn't know what we're suffering. Velo, the Gemara questions, is that really so? Do the deceased really not know what others are suffering? Veha Tanya. We have a Tanai quote that says the following. Maaseh, we have a story, b'chassid echad, one chassid. And Rashi tells us that anytime we have the words chassid echad in the Shas, Rashi says it is either Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba or Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. It's one or the other. So this is one of those two. He was this chassid. What?
Where's the Rashi?
Rashi is in Ksubis, I think. No? Ksubis or Yevamis? Where's Rashi? I'll look for it. Right. Yeah. Where is the Rashi? I have to look. It's in no. Rashi in Shabbos, in Mefanim. Rashi in the end of Shabbos. Says anytime it says Chassid Echad, it's either Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba or Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. So we're in Brachos, Daf Yud Ches, or Daf Mem Ches in the classical in Yaakov's. Should we wait? We're continuing in Yaakov. We have this story. V'atanya. We have a Tanakh quote. They said our father must only know about his own pain, but he doesn't know what we're going through. And the Gemara questions is that really so? The Braisa tells us there was once a chassid, Shenatan dinar l'ani be'erev Rosh Hashanah. It was the eve of Rosh Hashanah. It was Rabbi Yehuda, he didn't have a lot of money. And he gave the little bit that he had to a pauper on the eve of Rosh Hashanah. So he did a good deed. supposed to have a good year. He did a good deed. But it was Bishnei Batzoret. It was years of drought, and there wasn't a lot to be had. V'hiknitato ishto. So his wife went ballistic. His wife was very upset at him. What are you doing getting our money away? Well, we need to buy food for Rosh Hashanah. What are you doing? Okay. So she's yelling at him. And even though he's a big chassid, and he gave the money, it reached a point where he left the house. Valach, he left the house. Velan bebet hakvorot. And he went to sleep in the graveyard. So we once had a... What? Oh. So the commentaries ask, what's wrong with him? He goes to sleep in the graveyard. On Rosh Hashanah we go to a mikveh to become pure. He's sleeping in a graveyard on Rosh Hashanah. So your mechavan doesn't know the Yehuda. No, the Yehuda asks the question. He says, how could it be that that's what he's doing? Okay. So not the Yehuda has a pshat, and not the Yehuda has a whole sefer on Agadot. He has a pshat that he says Bet HaKvarot is the prosdor, that's the gateway between this world and the other world. The cemetery is really the place which is the connector between this world and the other world. That's where we put down the body to rest, and the neshama goes on. They go to sleep there at night? His wife is upset with him and he leaves. So we once had a guy in the Minyan HaBayit class a few years ago. He asked, in Judaism, is it like in the movies that when there's a fight, the husband goes out and sleeps on the couch or he leaves the house? And I insisted, no. It's not the way a Jewish home is supposed to look like. And all the commentaries ask over here, what's going on here? He left his wife, they had a fight, so he left, he went to sleep in the graveyard. How could that be? So some say that this was all in a dream, because we're going to see, he's going to hear spirits talking. So some say in his dream, he went to the graveyard, or in his dream, he went to hear spirits talking. And the concept of Bet HaKvarot is a spiritual concept, it's not the physical. And that's going to work out a little bit better going with the question you just asked, because you could say the first year he couldn't stay at home. His wife said, because of you we won't be able to afford buying a loaf and estrik this year. Because of you I won't have food for the student, have sekas for the kid. She's standing there yelling her head off on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, and he had to leave the house. He had no place to go. He went to the graveyard, went to sleep there. He didn't want to embarrass his wife. He'd stay in shul, people would ask what's happening. So he went to the graveyard. No one's going to ask any questions. Fine. You could say that happened the first year. But we're going to see he did the same thing the next year. So what? They were having fights the next year too. One of the things we see from here is a word of encouragement. That even great people have fights with their wives. People think if you're a big person, so then everything's always peaceful. It's always hunky-dory. It's not that way. We see throughout the Shas that even great rabbis had sometimes big fights with their wives. Here you see Rabbi Yehuda. He's called the Chassid Echad. He's a righteous, pious person, and yet he has a fight with his wife. So he goes to sleep in the cemetery. And he hears two ruchot. Ruchot literally means winds. People might translate them as spirits. There were two young girls that passed away, and they were talking to one another. Their spirits were talking to one another. And we once discussed in a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer class, in one of our classes on the Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, the Medrash over there discussed that God created Ruchot and Shedim, and the Medrash gave a long list of different things that everyone would translate them all as spirits or demons, and the Medrash gave an enumeration of the different types. And we said, from this Medrash we see that they're not one and the same. There are ruchot, there are shedim, there are mazikim. There were many words that the Medrash used there. The Medrash was discussing creation. I don't remember what chapter it was. So here he hears two spirits of two little girls that passed away talking to one another. Amra chada lechaverta. So one said to the other, chaverti boi venashut ba'olam menishma machwa pagud ma po'anut ba'alola. My friend, let's go sail across the world, and we'll go up to the pagod. Pagod is some kind of divider that's before the Shechina, and we'll stand by that curtain, by that divider called the pagod, and we'll hear what's declared for the upcoming year, what tragedies will happen in the world this year. Amala, so the other spirit replied, Chaverti, my friend, Eini Chola, I can't go. Shani Kvura B'Machzer Tshetkanim. I was buried, my mother was poor. She didn't bury me the traditional way. She buried me in a non-traditional way. She couldn't afford to bury me the traditional way in a simple garment, but rather, the simplest way they could bury then was that they wrapped the body with they took like a carpet of reeds, and they buried her in that. And the fact that she was buried non-traditionally affected her that she wasn't free to go. Her spirit was captured, so to speak. Ela lechiyat, she says, but I can't leave my grave because of the way I was buried. Rather, you go, umasha choma timrili, and whatever you hear, come back and tell me, because I can't leave this place. Oh, so that's an excellent question. What do we do with all the people who are cremated? All the people who the Nazis burnt their bodies? So it's interesting, Rav Kook has a tshuva about that. Rav Kook discusses a person who's cremated. And he says, technically, we want to have nothing to do with a person like that. And how God will judge him, so we leave it to God. But obviously, he says, God is not limited by any rules, and so those who were cremated because the Nazis cremated their body, they're tzaddikim, and they won't be punished for it. They won't have anything lost by it. But it seems from him that if a person was cremated by will, so again, it's very difficult to judge a person because some people have no clue that it's prohibited from the Torah. So on the other hand, you might say, yeah, but there are certain guidelines, just like this girl. She did nothing wrong that she was buried non-traditionally, and yet technically her spirit was bound. Her spirit couldn't move. So a person could say, well, they're not at fault, and a person could say, yes, but that doesn't mean that God will intervene and do something on their behalf to help them when they've done something harmful to themselves. Meaning, I don't know how God works. I don't know the rules of heavens. I know it's not... A Jew is supposed to get a regular burial the way our tradition has it. We put him in a simple garment, we bury him, and that's what's best for his soul. Now, what happens if a person chooses to be cremated? So he's doing many things wrong in that decision, but it's not only him that's doing something wrong, it's his family members, because they're the ones that control what's happening. I mean, we had a person here in Israel who had relatives. This story happened recently. And his father passed away, and his father left a request to be cremated. And his father was a multimillionaire. So they're dividing the inheritance, and he said, I don't want to ever cremate Dad. I mean, it's bad for his soul. So the brothers said, but that's his request. So he went to each brother, and I don't know the details of the story, but basically by forfeiting the millions he should have gotten in the inheritance, he was able to convince them not to cremate the brother. And it wasn't like he had his own millions here in Israel. He didn't, and he forfeited all the money he could have gotten, or much of the money he could have gotten from the inheritance, in order to convince the brothers to forgo the cremation. And he gave his father, he forewent all these things because the concept of cremation is a transgression of a few mitzvot, like we discussed last week. They're not allowed to disgrace the deceased, that you have to honor the deceased. So for biblical mitzvot, there are times when we say there's no limit to how much money you have to spend. If you could afford it, you spend it. So it wasn't like he would die of hunger. He had his day job. It was a question of would he be a millionaire or not. So he forwent the millions, and his father got a proper burial. I mean, this was publicized all over the country, this story, that he said, this is what's important. This is how I'm honoring my father.
Is it a shame for the brothers, though?
What can he do? It is a shame. It's very sad. It is. You're right.
But he wanted to be... $1 million, I'll think about that again.
We don't say you have to listen to what the deceased asked for. If he asked for something that's against his own interest and against the halacha, either way we wouldn't do it.
Well, the brothers claimed they cremated him because he wanted to.
I don't know the details of the story. I don't know the exact details.
The kiva,
I think, was buried. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, I think, was burned with the Torah scrolls. Yeah. I think it was Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. That's what Rav Kook writes. He says, undoubtedly, if the enemies of the Jewish people burn a Jew to the stake, he's not going to be held accountable, and God will see to it that everything works out for him spiritually. But a person who by choice has his body cremated, so then exactly how God will evaluate how badly he's supposed to be punished, did he have a choice, could he have known better, could he have done better, that we leave to God. That's like everything in judgment. We know it's bad for him. We know that here we see even a small difference in the burial, that the girl wasn't buried with regular things, she was buried in, they took mats of reeds, and they couldn't afford better. They couldn't afford to do something else, but that's how they buried her. So it constricted her years later spiritually. So what it'll do if you cremate a person, I don't know. We know it's a very bad punishment, because we know that Titus, that was his punishment. The one who destroyed the temple, his punishment was that his body was burnt and scattered over the seas. So it's not a good thing for a person. Exactly how it's going to work, a Kabbalist might be able to answer it better. I don't know.
Why are you Dafka talking about cremation? Why not Stam?
You asked the Nazis.
I'm saying, but if a person is buried without clothes, it's the same thing.
No, so...
Is that a story?
This story wasn't... The issue wasn't the clothes. The issue was that they wrapped her with the reeds. And the wrapping of the reeds, different commentaries discuss why that was constricting to her neshama. Why is a machzel chekanim constricting? So the commentaries discuss why that affected her. But then you see that when they went without tradition, so they went against the tradition, they couldn't afford it. She was a little girl. In those days, the mortality rate was high. People lost children. I mean, people had 13 kids. If they were left with two or three, it was good. It was a good statistic. So they wrapped her in this carpet and they buried her. So this girl, one spirit says to the other, you go hear what's going on in the world, what's decreed about the year, you come back and tell me. Halchai v'shata, so she went, she sailed around the world, she hears the decrees in heaven, uba v'amrala, and she came and told her, chaverta, her friend came and told her, chaverti, masha mad machoya pargod, so the spirit that couldn't move asked her, what'd you hear by the curtain by God? Amrala shamati, so she said, I heard, shekol azura b'rviya rishona, whoever plants in the beginning of the season, barat malkeoto, then there's going to be hail. And whoever's planted early, their crops are going to grow and be firm. And the hail that'll come down will destroy the first crops. The first crops that are hard, that take form, they will be destroyed. Halachu v'zara b'rviya shniya, so he delayed his planting. He planted his crops later. When the hail came down, shekol ha'olam kolo nilka, everyone's was destroyed, because it had been years of drought, everyone was quick to plant. By the time the hail came, theirs was destroyed, shelo lo laka. His didn't get destroyed, so now he's not such a poor chassid anymore. He had inside information. L'shana acheret, a different year, halach v'lan b'vet ha'kvarot. So again, he went and went to sleep in the graveyard. That's why the commentaries bring up your question. They say the first year, you could say his wife, he couldn't stay home, his wife was yelling at him. But what about the second year? Again, he heard the two spirits talking to one another. One said to her friend, let's go sail around the world. What's going to happen? What disasters will happen in the world? She thought the reeds had rotted, and now the spirit was free to go. That the body was like everyone else's body. A year had passed, maybe things were better. Amra la chaverta, so her friend said to her, lo kach amarti lach, didn't I tell you like this, ani yichola, I can't leave, she ani kvurav machzed chirkanim, I'm buried in a mat of reeds, ela lechiyat, but rather you go, umashat shumat, boy v'imrili, whatever you hear, come back and tell me. Halcha v'shata uva v'amra la chaverta, chaverti, ma shamat machoya pargud, she went and sailed, she comes back, her friend asks her, what'd you hear? Amrala shamati, she said, I heard shekol azura b'rviya shniya shitafon markeoto. Whoever plants the second season, their crops will be destroyed. Halach v'zura b'rviya rishona. So this year, he went and planted earlier. Shekol olam kulo nishdaf. Everyone who planted late was destroyed. V'shelo lo nishdaf. And his was fine. Amrala ishto. So his wife said to him, mipnei ma ishtakat shekol olam kulo lakav shechal lo laka. How come last year, everyone's crops were destroyed and yours weren't? And now, shekol ha'olam kolo nishdaf, v'shecha lo nishdaf. And again, this year everyone's was destroyed, and yours wasn't. Sach la kol ha'dvarim alalu. So he told her everything that had happened. You remember 2 years ago you yelled at me, Rosh Hashanah? I had to go out, I slept in the graveyard. Well, this is what I heard. And then this year I also slept in the graveyard, this is what I heard. Amru, they said, lo ayu yamim mu'atim, not a few days passed, but a while later, ad shenaflak tata ben ishto shloto chasidu venimash lota riva. This chassid's wife, she got into a fight with the mother of that girl who was buried, who died young and was buried in the mat of reeds. Amrala, she told her, Lechi ve'arech, you go, I'll show you, bitech shikvura machtzet shekinim. Your daughter, her body is still in the same situation you left it. The reeds haven't rotted, her body hasn't rotted, and everything's the way you left it. So next year he goes back to sleep in the graveyard. He heard the spirits talking to one another. She said, let's go sail around the world and hear what's going to happen. She said, my friend, leave me. The things we've been talking about, people have heard about in the living. Our conversation isn't private anymore. Al Mayadi, you see, they do know what's going on. They knew where people were talking. She knew that people said, look at her body. She's still buried in reeds. The Gemara said, Din ma'ini shachini shachi v'azir v'amalu. Maybe someone else passed away and went to the other world and told them what's being said in this world. That's not proof, the Gemara says. So the sons of Rav Chiya said, maybe the dead don't know what's going on in this world. And we want to bring a proof that the dead do know what's going on in this world. We said, maybe they only know what happens to their own body. They don't know what happens in the world of the living. We brought the story of the chassid. The Gemara says, no, maybe that's not a good proof, because maybe someone else passed away and told them. That's not proof. What is proof? So that we're going to see in the next Gemarot. The Gemara is going to discuss how they do know what's going on in this world. The deceased do know. But now we're out of time. It's time for Alvit.